B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand here on the Sports Hub from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Red Sox winter weekend is coming up.
This is a good one because this is a big event for the team.
It always is.
Always is. Even Carrabba's has a signing at it now. That's how big Jared Carrabba's has got.
When's he taking
Don't
pictures?
You ever forget, kid, where you started. Remember, he goes down there shaking hands. They said he had one of the longest lines. Not anybody lining up to get autographs and pictures taken with. Jared freaking Carrabba's. Section 10 podcast.
What are we doing wrong? Here's the list that the Red Sox have put out.
Okay, so this takes place in Foxwoods, right?
No, they moved it. It's no longer at Foxwoods. It's at MGM Springfield.
Oh, that's good. Good.
Also good.
Yep. Any casino's good. I love casinos.
So it's happening in Springfield for the first time ever.
Even more doable for fans, right? Like, hey, let's get on a pike. Let's head west.
It's about the same.
Yeah, but I mean,
the same distance.
Okay, so if I'm a little kid fan, tell me players I'm going to see there.
Here we go. Here's the list of participants. Mm-hmm. Xander Bogaerts. And this is both current and former players.
That's a good one.
Xander Bogaerts. Mm. Wade Boggs.
Mm.
Jackie Bradley Jr. Yeah. Rafael Devers.
Ooh.
All right. Carlton Fisk. Pedro Martinez.
Oh.
David Ortiz.
Ooh.
Eduardo Rodriguez.
Ooh.
Ooh. Koji Uehara.
No way.
Jason Varitek.
The captain.
And Christian Vasquez.
Ooh.
Are among the current and former players attending winter weekend for the Red Sox in Springfield. Bogaerts, Boggs. So current players. Let me name the current ones again.
Yeah.
Bogaerts, Bradley, Devers, Eduardo Rodriguez
Vasquez.
That's it?
No Mookie.
No rotation starters?
No Sale.
Wait a minute. No Mookie.
No Price.
No Sale. No Price. Probably the three. I'll put Bogaerts in there, top four.
No Benintendi either. I don't know if I should read into that. No
busy?
Benintendi. Not in there either.
You know what? I might be more excited to see the ex-players than the current. Out of that list.
Oh, no. Bogaerts is going to be there. It's a huge draw.
Well, Bogaerts is a huge draw. I said that. Top four would be like Pedro Ortiz, Bogaerts.
I don't know. No Betts. No Sale.
Boggs.
No Betts, no Sale, no Price. None of those guys.
Ooh, what's that say?
I don't know. I don't know whether I should read into that or not. Because not every single player goes, obviously. But of the staples, you know, the staple players, those guys, to me, along with Benintendi, are the absent ones. And I don't know. I don't know if that means anything.
Man.
It's interesting. It's interesting to note that those guys are not on there. The other thing is this. Today is baseball's arbitration deadline.
Okay.
The deadline is today. In fact, less than an hour from now is the deadline, meaning that you can settle on one-year deals to avoid arbitration. So the question is, will the Red Sox settle with Mookie Betts before noontime today on a one-year deal to avoid arbitration with Mookie Betts? They should want to do that.
They should want, I would say, Mookie, but not.
Why do you say that?
I just think it's for him now. It's play. I'm going to hit free agency, and I'm getting the hell out of here.
So Nolan Arenado hit $26 million last year, and that's the record, although Mookie's expected to be.
What's he make now? What's Mookie make now?
What he made last season?
Okay, so what he made last season be, what, 13?
He got 20, I think.
There was 20
it was
even.
Up to 20, Jesus. So what would his max number be through arbitration?
Well, I don't know because that's determined in arbitration.
Okay.
That's why they have arbitration.
Well, if Arenado got 26, it's got to be north of that.
Like he's getting, but I know that, but he's going to end up getting $300-400 million. So like he's going to get his money. should you read any? If they can't come to terms on a one-year arbitration,
no, the 26,
should you read into
the
it?
The $26 million for Arenado last year was a settlement. That's the record settlement number.
Oh, so you can get more than that then. Yeah, Way more than that.
Yeah, exactly. So if they settle, it's going to be more than that 26, which means the Red Sox would have to go to him today before noontime. I assume they've already been talking and come up with that number to avoid arbitration and get that done today. But my guess is, I mean, both sides should want to avoid it just for the, you don't want the aggravation of it. Like the Red Sox, you're going to lose. The Red Sox will lose in arbitration. They're not going to win that case.
Yeah.
Right? It was 1 year, $20 million last year. And it was to avoid arbitration a year ago. They agreed to it on the 11th, which I believe was the deadline last year. So you would expect it to happen again today with Mookie Betts. And if the Red Sox want to have any future with this player and want to get their head out of their collective ass over on Jersey Street and figure this thing out for the long term, they should want to avoid arbitration with Mookie Betts and get a deal done and treat him well on this deal as a sign of good faith.
Not only a sign of good faith, like even with some of the other stuff going on with the team, without even bringing it up, you know, we'll ultimately get to here too with the potential core. And I heard Maz yesterday and kind of.
Oh, let's get right into it.
Okay.
Go. Maz said yesterday, 50 games for Alex Cora.
He said hit him hard.
Is what he believes that he should get. Hit him hard. Make an example of him. 50 games and no spring training for him.
Oh.
You can't go to spring training.
Oh.
Your reaction.
I think the spring. I think. I think the spring training hit is more critical than the actual 50 games, because once you start playing, the guys are pretty damn good. And you play the game, you tweak it here and there. How much of a great game manager is Cora ultimately? But you really lose the feel of your team as it trends daily, hourly through spring training. Like, that's how you build your team. That hands-on approach there every single day. That would kill me as a coach or a manager. Sean Payton talks about missing an entire year, not being there and understanding the development of a certain young player and how they trend from year one to year two, or maybe a third-year player to year four. And you drastically miss that opportunity to attach yourself to that team. And then you get, it's like press and reset for him. I think missing spring training would kill him. Not kill him, but that would hurt me more.
Well, I think it's very damaging.
Because you play 162 games to begin with.
I don't know if it's more. It's harsh.
That would, that's the first thing. Like Dan Roach, count down the days, pitchers and catchers. Johnny Miller's already down there. And all the beat writers are heading down. You can't wait for spring training, like the turn of the season into baseball. Baseball people love that. That is the beginning of a new year. And to take him away from that, that would really hurt him. Not only out of the pocket and all that stuff, but I just think, damn, third year and I'm getting whacked like that.
So 50 games for PEDs.
This is third year, right?
50 games is your basic PED suspension, right?
Yeah.
50 games. I think that's a fair number to equate what was going on with this to PEDs.
Yeah.
In fact, I would say that this is more a form of cheating than the PED use.
Yeah.
I know everyone hates PEDs. I don't, so I'm biased in this.
I'm with you on that. But I think if you have a chance, you're going to cut that corner. And I'm not sitting here hamming the Red Sox for even attempting to have a video room to try and steal stuff, because I think everybody does it. I didn't care that the Houston Astros did what they did and they're beating drums and all that. I could care less.
This to me is just a level of conspiracy and effort that goes on to make this possible that I say
Apple Watch stuff. I mean,
if you get 50 games, that seems appropriate, given that a guy who takes something and it's a banned substance automatically is going to go out for 50. So that if that's the case, then all the work and effort that you put in to make this thing possible is deserving of 50 games. Not only that, Alex Cora is a repeat offender, and this team is a repeat offender. They've got both of those things working against them in this. The franchise was caught with the watches under John Farrell in his final year. Alex Cora was bagged in Houston with their system, and then he brought it to Boston the following year. Repeat offender on the managerial front, repeat offender on the team front.
Cora's a little bit of one of those sticking the chest out type guys too. Like, suck it, Yankees. What are you gonna do? Like, we got people.
That shouldn't matter.
We got you. He's got a little swagger to him.
I like that about him.
Yeah, I do too. It's like, in your face, we're going to continue to keep doing it.
Plus, I mean, I don't dislike him for doing this. Honestly, I don't. I don't dislike Alex Cora for doing this. I dislike the sport for doing this. Because this is not good for the game. It's just not good. This is not how the game should be played.
It's part of sign stealing, too. And it's like, and I heard them talking about it yesterday. It extends
games. Steal all the signs you want. The not deep breaths, with the use of technology, though.
Yeah.
This cannot become a part of the game.
No.
And so for that reason alone.
And if you've been warned and Manfred's told them that and you come down on him,
this is
like Goodell. And
I've sent
the letter out, stop taping sidelines.
And the report yesterday indicates that they are going to crush the Astros, as they should.
Yeah.
I mean, theirs was, a little bit worse than what the Red Sox were doing, both in the same category. But to be banging on that barrel pitch to pitch is like, oh, this has gotten completely out of control. Right?
Yeah.
So go after them. Go after both teams. Hit them hard with suspensions. And go after the guys who are actually involved in doing it, the managers, the coaching staffs, because those are the guys that are going to be doing that again. If you find the franchise, you find the team, that's not going to stop a guy next time from doing it. You take away international pool money. That's not going to stop a guy from doing it.
Yeah,
go after the guys that are actually doing it. Go after the manager. Go after the people on the field. People in uniform. I agree with that. 617-779.
Does he not have teeth?
0985. So with the football season coming to a close last weekend for the Patriots, I made a real effort this week to watch all of the Celtics games.
Well, of course you did. They played 76ers.
What a bad week to do that for the Celtics. Some thoughts on the Celtics next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zulak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Corner three is no good. Rebound Tobias Harris. And not only are the Celtics going to lose for the first time this year when leading by more than 10, they're going to lose by more than 10. And the Sixers, without Joel Embiid, clinch the season series with the Celtics, whose difficult week continues. A 15-point lead turns into an 11-point loss. And some questions now to be answered. The final, Philadelphia 109, Boston 98.
All right, serious question. As I transition into my winter sports season, when I started paying a lot more attention to the Bruins and Celtics, I watched the Celtics all week. What a bad week to pick to really hone in on the Celtics. Bad week for that, so.
See, only there's stretches where you think they're playing well, like when the coach says it in the postgame. Like, I don't think we played as bad as it.
Oh, the starts have been brutal. Have been really painful. But maybe I just picked a bad week. Maybe it's I just got to wait till I see some better games. Maybe I'm bad luck.
Yeah, they lost 30% of their games this week for the season.
Yes. I picked a really horrible, horrible week.
Bad timing for them. A little more lights, right?
Yeah, but there are lights on them. A couple of things about this team. Number one, last night you get the news before the game that Joel Embiid hurt his finger.
Yeah, lacerated.
So he might need surgery, right?
Yeah, nasty cut.
Is that what I was reading last night?
It was termed a laceration, right?
No, I don't think that's what it was.
Was it? I thought we had that before. We talked
dislocated.
To is that or maybe it pierced the skin?
He's got a torn ligament in his hand. Ew. Yeah, and he is going to have surgery. I saw that before the game last night. He's going to be reevaluated in a few weeks, but he's having surgery.
Maybe the bone popped through like Brady's.
I don't know. I didn't hear that part. Maybe you just made that up. But you find that out, Embiid's out, and now you've got a chance to play the Sixers without Embiid. You have to win that game.
Oh, yeah.
You need to win last night. Oh, wait, Kemba had to tape it up. He had a little thing of his own. But you need to beat good teams.
It's good timing to beat them, too. Plus, with Horford and that stuff, and him not blending like he thought he was going to blend there. Like, there's some stuff going on.
So the Celtics have two road wins over teams that have a winning record. Two, and it was the Mavericks without Doncic, and also the Raptors when they were missing a bunch of guys. Those are their two road wins over winning teams, the Celtics. Last night should have been a good example and good opportunity for them to do that, but they didn't do it. You know what this tells me? The Celtics are that team that beats inferior competition and beats the teams they should beat, and then when they get into these games with, you know, we'll say good teams that we expect to be in the playoffs, like the 76ers, they don't win those games. This team has a ceiling.
Oh, boy.
They have a ceiling. It's what we've said about them from the very beginning. Yes, nice team. Jim will be able to root for them with all of his heart
single night. This is beyond bitching about not having a big man or a big presence.
No, they just have a ceiling. There's a ceiling to this team right now.
But there's likability factor to the team.
No, they're very likable. Very likable group.
Blended a new uniform this year. Maybe some people
No, they're a likable team. Yeah. They play hard. Yeah. They are a likable group. That's great. They have a ceiling.
They're not going to beat Philly.
What has this team done that is special? Nothing. Maybe they do at some point.
And Philly.
Not yet.
Philly doesn't
play
well together.
At the beginning of the season, you said they're not going to get by Philly. They're not going to get by the Bucks, but they're going to be good.
Nothing. I just said they're exactly who I thought they'd be.
I mean, the Heat. Maybe the Heat are surprising. Maybe they don't get by the Heat either, but I don't know. We'll find that out.
Well, how about the John Spoelstra sound down there, too?
I know. But this is sort of my point, Jim. They're exactly who I thought they would be. And that's fine. That's not bad. That's not a bad place to be. There's just a ceiling. That's all, and it's coming to fruition. We're seeing it on the court. It's coming to fruition. Yes, nice team. And outside of this week, bad week to really focus in. But they're an enjoyable bunch. Kemba Walker is fun to watch. Enjoyable player.
Good guy to root for. Marcus Smart.
Guys that we can like and root for on the team. We feel good about it every night.
He'll get ejected, fine. Yeah, give it to him. Swear more.
It's nice. It's a nice team. And then when they get to the playoffs, I expect them to lose.
What's Gordon Hayward been
doing? That's what it is.
How's Gordon Hayward been doing?
What about him?
Like, is he hitting his? Does he have a ceiling? Like, remember those games early in the year?
The Celtics are 12-4 without Gordon Hayward this year, by the way.
What does that say?
It says that they've got some. Again, this goes back to what we said at the beginning of the year.
Gordon Hayward not being there allows them to have a higher ceiling.
It's just because there's some redundancy on the roster. You know what else they are? They're 4-0 without Jaylen Brown. That doesn't mean he's bad.
That's true.
Doesn't mean Gordon Hayward's bad. Those statistics tell you that maybe there's just too much of the same things, right? We've heard from many callers so far this season. When we have talked Celtics, it feels like it always sort of, I want to say, devolves and goes down this road of who are we going to trade, who's got to go, what are they going to do at the deadline, every time we talk about it. And Hayward is always brought up. Everyone wants to trade Hayward because the obvious there. There's some skill sets that are overlapping there, and can they all sort of be in the mix and be contributing and this be the best version of the Celtics? And I think maybe the answer is maybe not, because they've just got sort of a backup.
Nice team.
Nice team. Nice team you have there. Yes, they don't have the drama like the rest of the NBA. Speaking of which,
so they're the top. So they're a team that is going to be good and can't get by the top couple teams in the conference.
Yeah. Yes.
Sort of like the Patriots ended up, right?
Craig Biggio. Yeah. Good nut crack.
Yeah, except the Patriots are.
So why wasn't it ever positioned as, oh, nice team? Just not enough. Just a nice team.
Because our expectations for the Patriots are greater. Yeah, because the Patriots have broken
at the end
through.
Of the season where they were greater, though?
Yeah, no. Failure. I would deem it a failure.
I think we did not expect them to get to the Super Bowl.
Mm. I still thought they had a shot. Shocker.
The expectations for the Patriots are much higher than the Celtics. It's as simple as that. Speaking of Kyrie, maybe we should check in on him. Since we do acknowledge that the Celtics
the All-Star game's coming up,
drama-free group. They don't really have this drama that they've had for the last few years. Well,
Kyrie's been playing a ton lately, right?
No, he hasn't been doing that.
He hasn't?
He's been rehabbing.
Oh.
But he's been getting a lot of All-Star votes still. He's been crushing it.
Second, right?
He's just...
Second most?
He's missed 25 games now. The last 25 he's been out. Yet he's still second place in All-Star fan voting at point guard. Second in the Eastern Conference. So yesterday he was asked about how that feels.
I said it the other day. It's an entertainment league, and I think that I put in a lot of work in this league to be up there, whether I'm playing or not. And if you want to see an All-Star game, then I would vote for myself as well. You know, I'm serious because I'm going to go out there. We're going to put on a show. But at the same time, there is a respect level that I have for all the guys that have been playing throughout the season, and they're much as deserving of being in that spot. And, you know, the fans will do their job of voting for who they want to see in there. But when I'm back, you know, please believe I'm going to make a push for something, and as well as bringing a few teammate with me in there. I'm going to be pushing for him to get in there as well. So we'll see what happens. But look, the first priority is getting healthy and getting back with my teammates.
Okay. I wonder what teammate he's pushing
for. He'd vote for himself, too.
Sure would. Remember this time last year when he was hurt and had to deal with, was he going to play or not in the All-Star game? No, he wouldn't do that to jeopardize the Celtics. You're damn right he played his ass.
I'd vote for myself, too. Ha, ha, ha. We're going to help you laugh off that. There you go. No, I'm serious.
Like, don't laugh at that. I'm serious. I'd vote for me, too. It's an entertainment league. He can never help himself, can he?
No.
He never figures out a way to...
It's a superstar league, Beetle. That's why we wanted him.
He doesn't realize that his style's not entertaining.
It's his delivery.
It's an entertainment
His
league.
Play is entertaining.
I have a serious
his
question.
His mouth is not.
How is Kyrie Irving getting the second most votes among guards? How is that possible? Is that just name recognition?
Fans are stupid.
Why wouldn't it be possible?
Well, I just...
It's a popularity
contest. Who likes
him?
It's a popularity contest.
Taco Falls getting votes.
Cleveland doesn't like this guy. Boston doesn't like this guy. Brooklyn's barely seen him play. They've fallen in love with Kyrie Irving? Do they even have fans, or they just have like people who live in New York and go to their games? I'm a Nets fan.
You got a huge
Is
market.
That a thing?
Yeah, you got a huge market in New York that's voted for him.
Secondary event.
Let me tell you,
and then all around the country, they just they know him from highlights and they know what he can do, and he's right. That especially for the NBA All-Star game, any All-Star game, but especially the NBA All-Star game, it's just fluff. You know, it's just a show. It's just go out there and do cool things with the basketball, and yeah, he can do that.
So I just want to let you know that Kemba Walker is third, and he trails Kyrie by 20,000 votes. Each of them have over 1.3 million votes, but they're within 20,000 votes of each other. So for all you idiots that are taking the time to go vote for Taco Fall.
Yeah, don't listen to the morning show.
Please just spend a little extra time going and voting for Kemba Walker. In the NBA All-Star. If you care about that, if you care about this game, why don't you go do that? I don't care who gets the votes. But if you care enough to vote and care enough to even think about watching that stupid game, I like the night before. I like the Saturday night stuff, the NBA All-Star weekend. That's what I enjoy. But if you want to actually
dunk
watch...
Dunk contest? You still in on the dunk contest?
I still check it out.
Will Taco get in
Three-point contest. All that. It's, I don't
Three-point
know.
I like.
I do. I
they
like
They still
it.
Do the skills. I haven't watched it in a couple of years, but I used to like this. I was the one guy I liked the skills. Bounce pass through the hoop, you know?
Yeah, but now it's like big guys, isn't it? They use like all sorts of weirdos in there.
But if
freak,
you care...
It's like a freak show.
I don't like the game. I have no use for the game or who is named an All-Star.
No, why
but
would
some
you?
Of you do. So we can stop listening to this guy, Kyrie. It's Entertainment League.
It's popularity. You should vote for me because when I do get right, my job is to elevate everyone. And I'm also going to push to get a teammate in there.
There was also a great Kyrie Durant back and forth last night that we will get to before this day is done. Wow. Kyrie. Kendrick Perkins. Meant to say Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah.
Kendrick Perkins and Durant on Twitter last night. We'll get to that coming up. Hardy has headlines here, and he's got some settlement news when it comes to the Red Sox and avoiding arbitration. Some settlements to report on, and we'll get to Read and React coming your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's time to read.
I go with the specialty ones with just the berries.
And react.
Sorry, I'm a little under the weather.
Yeah.
With Zolak and Bertrand.
I got the prosciutto and I got the wine. Okay, now we can eat.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's interesting. Ken and Lowell right there with the prosciutto.
Prosciutto.
I was watching a Gordon Ramsay video on how to make a nice eggs Benedict, and he uses a Parma ham. Parma ham, sort of like a prosciutto. Kind of same. Like a
I'm unfamiliar ham. With a Parma ham.
Parma ham, right. I guess it's British. But.
Is it?
He's cooking over there. He speaks like that. Really. Let's get to the thing. Read me.
Red Robin. Yum.
Wait a minute. When did you do that?
Nice.
Is that Monday or Tuesday?
That sounds like Warrior, doesn't it?
No.
Yeah, it may have been last week at Warrior.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that was
without you.
Yeah.
When was it, Jim? Jim's shaking his head at us. No.
Tom says this week.
What was this?
Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, Monday
Red
Tuesday.
Robin?
Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't have the all-you-can-eat fries here.
Yeah.
Royal Red Robin Burger.
Yum.
F up one of those right now.
Hey, what'd you eat yesterday when you got home?
I told Beetle this last night. I want to get a bumper sticker. You know the ones that say, let me tell you about my grandkids? Let me tell you about my burrito. I could talk for a while about the burrito I had yesterday. I won't, but I had a burrito. Okay? Chorizo with fried eggs and guacamole in it. Mm-hmm. Joe Judge introduced as head coach of the Giants yesterday. He was
it's
asked about
a place in Newton. Go ahead.
I probably went to their
it's
other
next to like a Subway, right by Mr. Sid there.
Amigos.
That freaking place
is that the one? I went to the one in Brighton. Joe Judge was introduced as the head coach of the Giants yesterday. He was asked about coaching under Nick Saban and Bill Belichick. Here's what he had to say.
The only advice I really ever sought from him as far as this opportunity, he told me just be yourself. And that's all I know how to be. I'm not trying to emulate anyone I've ever worked for. I'm trying to take what I've learned from them and what matches up with my belief structure and do it in my own personality.
I thought he was really good yesterday. I thought he commanded the podium. Fine. He looks like a head coach. Sort of talked like one instead of the preacher, Matt Rhule, who I'm rooting against right now, in Carolina, and the Imagine Dragons. I actually took him off my pool playlist.
I think there have been plenty of guys that have won the podium and done a great job at an introductory press conference and then not done a great job as a coach. And vice versa.
I'm intrigued because I've never heard the man really speak. And now, like, wow.
He definitely presents well.
You can understand why Bill got it for him. Like, okay, this guy could command many units. Maybe it'll work for him. Who knows?
Well,
Jason Garrett gives a decent press conference, doesn't he?
Not really. He's kind of the same. He's just monotone. Yeah.
All right.
Well,
I mean, he's informative.
The GM, Dave Gettleman, also spoke.
What'd he say?
He likes the running game.
People say it's such a clown. I get that. But, that graphic on Sunday afternoon should not have been lost on everybody. Top four passing teams were not in the playoffs. The top four rushing teams were in the playoffs. Don't quote me, but...
Don't you quote know, you. You're talking. You're speaking. You're speaking in front.
Yeah, anything I say here today, please don't quote me on it. But here are my thoughts. You know what I think every time I hear Dave Gettleman speak? I think this guy is a caller to 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Right.
And then he's a caller.
He's like Paul in Rhode Island.
He's a caller with bad takes who we let on the air to spew his bad takes, except an NFL franchise let that caller run their team.
Yeah, he's the GM.
People say it's a passing league. I get that. What but, people? You know, that graphic on Sunday afternoon should not have been lost on everybody. Top four passing teams were not in the playoffs. You know, the top four rushing teams were in the playoffs. Don't quote me, but...
Don't quote me. I'm the GM.
I don't even know if that information is accurate, but I'm gonna roll with it, guys.
I'm an actual GM of a football team, and we just played our entire year. We got eliminated, and it hit me. Not during the year when I was building the roster, but I was watching TV, and some field graphic was put up
right.
Coming back from commercial break. I said, let him run a team. I wonder how many of those teams. Do you know why you run the ball
the
a lot?
Key to winning to, in
you're killing clock because you're winning.
The key to winning in the National Football League was revealed to a GM of a team by
TV truck.
By a graphic thrown up in the middle of a game.
Yeah.
Most of the teams were in the top, I think, 12 in terms of rushing. So, again, it's a physical, violent game. And if you don't build your team to do that late in the year when the weather's lousy and it's mush out there, that team is going to win.
I hate playing in mush.
Nope.
I wonder how many of those top 12 teams had leads and were running the ball at the end of games instead of going shotgun and throwing it over a lot like Jameis Winston.
That is Dave from
Mattapan.
Jameis
Winston has
right
5,000 yards. Dave from Mattapan.
Dave from Mattapan. That's where he grew up.
Mattapan.
He sure sounds it. Yeah, Dave and Mattapan. Yeah, listen, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Do you guys see that the top four Russian teams are in the playoffs?
Because, you
that
know,
really resonates with me.
It's a violent, violent game.
Were you behind Zolak?
React.
Real estate.
Cowboys introduced Mike McCarthy as head coach this week.
Nice.
Aaron Rodgers talking about his old coach getting the job there in Dallas.
We've had a lot of success down there, and I know that I think that was probably one of the reasons. You know, we've obviously won the Super Bowl there, but we've won some big games down there over the years. So I'm not surprised that, Jerry had an infatuation with Mike because, you know, we've had some really good performances. I thought maybe he would go somewhere where he had maybe some GM opportunity as well. But I'm happy for him. I sent him a text.
What a dick. What a jerk. Aaron Rodgers, you are such a jerk.
What part?
The reason why McCarthy got the job there was because of how well
because the
we
Packers,
played
I
against
part
them, number
I do,
one.
I do think that's part of
and
it.
And then the other part is, yeah, you know, I thought he would have taken a job that maybe, he's under the radar there saying, oh, yeah, he got that job because Jerry's influenced by those head-to-head games, not because he's looking at the full picture. That's the message there. The other part is, gee, you know, I thought he would have taken a job with some GM responsibilities, like sliding him in that way too.
I thought maybe
what an a-hole.
I thought maybe he wouldn't take a job where he's just going to be pushed around by the owners / GM.
Yeah. But I'm happy for him. I sent him a text.
All right,
that is a Kyrie Irving-esque answer.
I see what you're
saying. He just dropped there.
I see what you're saying.
Kyrie, Aaron Rodgers, same guy.
Not good.
Except Aaron Rodgers is one.
There was John.
Sorry,
Breeze.
Scotty.
React.
I apologize. Put it out there.
Larry David was a guest on the Michael Kay Show this week. He's a Jets fan, and Larry David had some thoughts on the Jets.
Now, have you had any Joe Douglas interaction? Have you called the Joe Douglas?
No, I haven't reached out to Joe.
You should. He's tremendous.
Yeah, but I did. I did call Mike Maccagnan before the 2018 draft, and I recommended that he draft Lamar Jackson. I have a witness.
Really?
Yes, I have a witness.
And what did he say to you when you said that?
He kind of gave me the most condescending.
Really? Wow. Yeah. So you actually told him that?
Yeah, I told him that. He kind of he laughed at me, but who can blame him? Nobody thought Jackson was going to be
except for the Ravens.
Except for the Ravens.
Yeah, so what are your thoughts on Gase?
Long pause.
No, his answer is great. Do you have his answer?
I can't take the hat. I can't take a coach wearing a hat constantly. He tells me that there's something about him. He's not comfortable with himself.
Right. Yeah, he's bald.
We talked about this the other day. Remember the, do you wear a hat? Do you wear the visor? We were talking about McDaniels and how he's got to go to a hat. He can't wear a visor as a head coach.
I'm anti-visor. I'm an anti-visor
but
guy.
I can't Larry David says, no hat, no headwear.
Joe Douglas.
That is unbelievable. Wow. I can't take the hat.
I can't take the hat.
Is he wrong?
He's not wrong.
Might not be wrong.
I can't take a coach wearing a hat constantly. He tells me that there's something about him. He's not comfortable with himself.
Larry David. Nah.
The problem is there's too many good coaches that have worn hats regularly. Yeah. It's a problem.
Three.
It gets funnier every time.
Ravens host the Titans on Saturday night. Ooh. Earl Thomas taking a dig at the Patriots while he was talking about Tennessee. Ooh.
I think Tannehill probably threw like 17 times last game for like 75 yards in a playoff game, and they still won. You know, that's a credit to how hard he's running and their O-line. He's a cutback runner. He's very patient. He'll find creases. And guys didn't seem like they was too interested in tackling him. So I think our mindset is a little different. I think we're going to try to tackle him. We're going to try to swarm. And we're going to see how it plays out.
Yeah, gang tackle, stuff we talked about.
We talked about that this week. Good luck with that. We know that works out for you. And maybe he's right.
Yeah,
maybe,
you put a size 14 shoe right on your chest there, Earl.
Do you think it was a case of the Patriots? And I know I'm taking him literally here, and he didn't mean it literally. But do you think that the Patriots just weren't interested in tackling Derrick Henry?
No, but I think their approach, especially when you had guys in the secondary coming up to make tackles, they're trying to, you know, they're trying to minimize the damage that Derrick Henry would do to them. Trying to take perfect angles.
Yeah.
Trying to trip him up around the knees instead of just taking him on. I don't think he's crazy for saying this. I don't think he was trying to slight them. I think that was a genuine observation from him.
I was surprised by the lack of gang tackling. I told you that after the game. I said that's the one that shocked me. Is, you know,
someone get there first, try and wrap him up, and then more guys try and clean
after
him up.
First quarter. My gut tells me that Derrick Henry is going to get his against the Ravens. They may not win.
He does.
But I think he's going to do just fine.
Wasn't that what he said, too? The first half of what he was saying was complimenting.
Tannehill probably threw like 17 times last game.
Yeah.
For like 75 yards in a playoff game, and they still won. You know, that's a credit to how hard he's running.
He's not talking about Tannehill. He's talking about
I know.
Derrick Henry.
Runner, he's very patient. He'll find creases. And guys didn't seem like they was too interested in tackling.
He didn't say anything about he's going to run against us, too. He's saying we're going to go tackle him, unlike what the Patriots did.
Right.
That's exactly what he's saying.
Kind of called him soft.
Don't let him off the hook, Beetle.
Three.
Barf played for the Vikings.
All right, this is a late edition. This is just coming in under the wire. This video just popped up on TMZ a little while ago of Bill O'Brien, okay? And this is from back in December. Bill O'Brien yelling at a fan who was heckling him at NRG back on December 8th. And Houston was trailing the Broncos 31-3 at the half. So you can understand why he might be heckled, but here's Bill O'Brien talking back. I've not yet heard this, so let's give it a listen.
He said, "You suck too, mother bleeper."
I love
him. That's what he said.
He sure did.
All right,
he sure did.
So Hardy, can you describe where this all? This is just on the sideline, or is it down the tunnel?
Sounds like it's down the tunnel.
It's in the tunnel.
It's in the tunnel. I can't make out what
he said. Go the F home, mother effer. Listen.
Right.
Coach.
It's like Mayfield when he was yelling at the fan, too.
You suck too, mother bleeper. Bleep you.
I like that.
Go the bleep home, mother bleeper. Put that on a T-shirt.
He's unhinged. That is.
He's got crazy in him, and I did
Why don't
that.
We just put that next to Bill Belichick just blowing off the kid in Detroit? That's just the difference.
Yeah. Ignoring him.
Ignoring everybody. Not a yes, sir. Not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold.
Well, this is fun.
Oh, it's going to get real fun there, Mr. Tepper. You are on the radar now, buddy.
This is fun. Phil Perry is going to join us coming up at the top of the hour. Do we have time to do what we had planned next, Jim?
Close.
Yeah, let's not. Let's push that because I don't want to. I want to give that the proper time. We'll get to your calls then. We'll do that next before we talk to Phil at noontime.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
So as you know, coming up next Friday, a week from today on the 17th, is Pucks and Paddles. Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub, and the Boston Bruins putting it all together. The annual ping pong tournament that benefits Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center and the Boston Bruins Foundation. You can bid right now at our website, 98.5thesportshub.com, to play with Bruins players or with Toucher and Rich. 98.5thesportshub.com is where you go for that. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Pucks and Paddles presented by Coors Light and sponsored by Honda, ACP Facility Services, and Clear Path for Veterans of New England. I'm looking at the
bids
right now.
Shocking.
We got some good ones. You know, Patrice Bergeron and Zdeno Chara both over $1,000, as is Charlie Coyle up over $1,000.
Yep, keep going, please.
Matt Grizzlick over $1,000 right
going,
now. I'll tell you the real value buys in a second, but the bid that is jumping off the page when you look at the bidding right now, the bid for Jake DeBrusque is at $8,000.
Well, TNR bump.
TNR bid bump?
Holy crap.
I bet Rich bought him. Rich likes to throw it around.
That's odd. What is that?
That's a part, the big boom, spike. He got right across the board and whoop.
$8,050.
Yes.
One on 49. One on 51. It's a nice $8,050. 8,050 big ones.
That's... Who are your best value bids right now?
Okay, best value bids right now when you go up and down the board here.
Told you the other day. Wagner,
I'll tell you,
Wagner,
I know what
baby.
The best one is right now, but go ahead.
Marchand at only 500.
That's the one.
Is a bargain.
Pasternak.
And
allowed to play ping pong. Ball.
Charlie McAvoy at 425. Also a bargain. Got to get these bids up. I mean, $425. Got to do better than that.
Oh, yeah.
And Wags, by the way. Wagner, respectable at 750.
Yeah.
Chris
yeah.
Wagner.
He's just going to tell it like it is, like he always does. Shoot the bleep with it.
Did Chris Wagner just become...
What? A little bit of Morgan Freeman.
A little Morgan Freeman.
Well, he kind of just does that. He talks through his thing. Like, what? You don't believe me? You don't think I hit that? I didn't. I deflected in off me. What? You think I'm messing with you, Hardy? That puck must have spun in the air 90 miles an hour. If I saw that puck and I twisted it in, went right off my thing. I'll take it, and goal's a goal to get me going.
There it is.
And a little bit of Forrest Gump thrown in there, too.
Chris Wagner as Forrest Gump.
No, that puck must have been in the air 4 minutes. Yeah. He must have eaten.
That's your Forrest Gump?
I must have eaten the whole plate of bacon that they put out there for us and all of those Gatorades. That man made the Gatorade.
Instead of Dr. Pepper, I see what you're doing. Gatorade. Did you mention Charlie McAvoy at 425
yep,
right now?
Yep.
That's a good one. Some real value.
What's Pasternak's number? He's not like over the top.
Oh, please. What? Well, that's leading, a not listening? Well, leading goal. No, well, you mentioned it 4 minutes ago, along with 10 other names.
No, that doesn't count.
No, it doesn't count.
Not as bad as Jim's dumb comment earlier.
David Backes, 350? Value?
What's Pasternak? Eight and change?
I can tell you. Hold on.
I think he's eight and change or something.
A lot of guys participate.
I think he was up over 1,000.
Yeah, maybe he popped today.
1275.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that one went up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now here's a better question. Who's the smallest bid numbers?
There is no bid yet on Steve Kampfer. Minimum bid of $300.
Oh, okay. So there's a few at 300.
Yeah.
You know, the get-in price. Brett Ritchie at 300 right now. John Moore, 300. Right now.
How about Tuukka Rask? 775.
This is what you bid and you're in the
Chris
tournament.
Chris Wagner's essentially the same as Tuukka right now.
You get to be out there with all the Bruins, playing ping pong with all the Bruins.
Plus you would think.
Fantastic. Like it doesn't, Tuukka's, at some point you got to say, hey, I can get into this tournament for $300 or three. I'm doing it. You get to see them all and be with them all.
Plus off hand-eye coordination, like if you got one guy that's going to block the ping pong ball, it'd be like Tuukka. Tuukka's not going to let that get past him. Like,
ping pong. 98.5thesportsup.com is where you go for that.
It just can't, you know, block it and send it off the table. That's right. Not the object of the game. And send it back over the net. Have it hit the table on the other side.
Coming up next, Phil Perry in studio with us. We'll talk some football with Phil. We'll get to your calls as well. Go nowhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.